As you've probably figured out, I don't like to stand behind this podium for a homily, and neither do I like to use notes. But I decided that notes was the best thing I could do today because otherwise I was going to get confused. I don't like to use notes because I always feel a little bit more stilted, a little less able to put myself into it. But the theme I want to talk about demands that I be careful in what I say. Really, as I look at the readings today, I see two themes. The first reading, the reading about Samuel and his call from the Lord, and then the gospel reading about John and Andrew and later Peter, how they were called to follow Jesus, gives us that theme of God calling, God asking us to follow him. In the second reading, Paul brings up the theme of the sanctity, the holiness of our bodies. And in that, Paul makes a case against sexual immorality. Now, the translation we have just says immorality. But if you go to the Revised Standard Version of the Bible, which is probably the most accurate English translation, it makes it very clear that it's referring to sexual immorality. A year or so ago, I was trying to figure out which of those translations is more accurate, and so I asked Monsignor Moore if he could go back to the original Greek. Well, you know, Greek for me is just Greek. I don't know anything about it. But he assured me that, yes, the word used in the original Greek was a reference to sexual immorality. My first thought was that I was going to have to pick between one of those themes. But as I got to thinking about it more, I realized that those two themes converge under the topic of vocation. Because each vocation to which God can call us has something to do with our sexuality. That's very obvious in the calling of marriage. Marriage is about the gift of a permanent, exclusive, life-giving, committed love. It is about a relationship which, from the scriptural point of view, is very much limited to those who are married to each other. The single life, priesthood or religious life, also involves our sexuality. They involve our being male or female and how we relate to the world around us. Those who choose vocations, or maybe I should say are chosen for vocations that do not involve marriage, must channel their sexual energies, must channel their love in other directions. They must do so in a way which excludes the actions that are proper to married couples. But they too are called to love, but not in an exclusive way, the way couples are called to love, but in an open way. Their love is to be open to all. And they are called to be life-giving also, but life-giving in a very different way. Not biological life, but spiritual life, emotional life. If you think about it, our being male or female is very much at the core of who we are. I will always relate to the world around me as a male. Many of you here will always relate to the world around you as a female. Our maleness or our femaleness really colors the way we look at the world, and it colors the way we interact with the world. We all relate to the world based on our sexuality. We will be male or female for all eternity. Marriage will lose its physical aspects of its sexuality. We know that from the scriptures, which says that in heaven people are neither give nor are given in marriage. But still, married couples will be called in heaven to give love and to receive love. Those of us who are not married, we also will be called to give and to receive love in heaven. And we will do that as males or as females. No matter which vocation one might be called to, that vocation can be corrupted if it is not lived in love. If marriage is not a mutual giving and receiving, it is a dead relationship. If the single life is lived as a life of selfishness, it really has no value, no possibility of leading one to eternal life. If priesthood or religious life is not lived out as a life of love for God and love for others, it will have no lasting purpose. At the very heart of each vocation is a call to love. We love in different ways, but each one of us in the vocation we have received must be people who love if we are going to live out that vocation. In the second reading, St. Paul challenges us to look at how we reverence our bodies and the bodies of others. He calls us to recall that we, through baptism, are members of the body of Christ, that we are temples of the Holy Spirit, and that what we do with our bodies is truly involving the body of Christ. And so that when I sin with my body, I am somehow involving Christ's body in sin. When I sin with my body, I am making my body less a temple of the Holy Spirit. Because our bodies are holy, we are to avoid desecrating our bodies through sin. This also leads us to ask ourselves, how do we treat our bodies? How do we treat the bodies of others? Do we violate our own bodies by using them not for loving, but just for seeking pleasure or security or to manipulate others? Do we use the bodies of others for our own pleasure, our own convenience, our own recreation? We're asked to look at those things. Do we use our sexual powers to express permanent, committed, life-giving love? In the scriptures, this is the meaning of our sexuality. When we choose to use it, it is meant to be in a permanent, committed love, a life-giving love, an exclusive love. Scripture has no room for one-night stands. It has no room for temporary relationships, trial relationships. In the original plan of God, scripture, in the original plan of God, marriage is a lifetime commitment. It is a commitment exclusively between two people. It is a commitment that must be open to life. Even marriage, though, does not entitle people to use each other. But instead, marriage is meant to be two people who give themselves to each other in selfless love, in self-sacrificing love. God calls each and every one of us to live lives of love. Now, the majority of us are called to marital love. And marital love is a blessed and holy love. Even as physical aspects are very sacred and very beautiful. Others of us are called to channel our love in different ways. But we are still called to be loving and giving people. And we are called to love using our masculinity or our femininity. The scriptures today provide models for us. There is Samuel, who learned to hear God's call, and he said, "I am ready to do your will." There is Andrew, and there is Peter, and there is that other unnamed apostle. They encountered Jesus, and they followed him. They heard his call. Each one of us is to do the same thing. We are to open our hearts to hearing God's call for us. How is God calling me to love in the world today? The important thing is that we respond to the call God gives us, each in our own lives. And that we realize, no matter what call we have received, it is a call to love. It is a call to give of ourselves. To give of ourselves in love to our God. To give of ourselves in love in service to our brothers and sisters.